Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Good Gas Bags podcast. This is Eleanor, and that is Katrina.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy post-qualifying for the Mexico Grand Prix. We are recording on Sunday afternoon, so we are approximately
5:30 p.m.
10-ish hours away from the actual race starting. So, we're going to have a little bit of chat about FP1, FP2, FP3, but ultimately qualifying. So, FP1. So, FP1 for Mexico this year was the choice location.
Ten and a half hours, exactly.
There we go. Was the choice location for, I'm going to say, majority of the teams to run a junior driver in their free practice one session. So we had five teams opt to run a junior.
Mm-hmm.
These juniors were Jack Doohan, Fred Vesti. We had Isaac Hadjar. We had Ollie Behrman. And we had Teo Pourchaire.
Mm-hmm.
So Teo Pourchaire sat in the FP1 session in Alfa Romeo. We had Ollie Behrman in the Haas. We had Isaac Hadjar in the AlphaTauri. We had Jack Doohan in the Alpine. And we had, who have I got left?
Vesti in the Mercedes.
Vesti in the Mercedes. So for those five that ran in Mexico, the second session for them will also be run in Abu Dhabi. We also got the confirmation that Aston Martin will be running Felipe Drugovic in the Brazil FP1 session. I mean, no one's really surprised there.
It's his home race.
Yeah, and he's their official reserve driver. So Brazilian reserve driver to do a free practice session in Brazil when they don't have a Brazilian on the track.
Smart.
It makes sense. We do, however, have a couple of teams that don't have...
They've not run anyone at all, which is Red Bull. Red Bull haven't run anyone
yet.
Yeah,
I was about
to say. Both in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, who are they going to run in Abu Dhabi?
I think they're going to run Isaac Hadjar for both. I think, yeah.
Actually, they can because Hadjar's done... So they don't need to run anyone in...
they've done Lawson.
Yeah, Lawson counts as his. We've got...
Because Hadjar did Tsunoda's car, so they've done... So AlphaTauri have done theirs.
Yeah, and we've had... So AlphaTauri have done theirs... we know we're going to get Robert Schwartzman in for Abu Dhabi.
Did McLaren do theirs with the guy with the guy?
Pato Award.
Yeah, did he?
I think Alex Palou has done one.
Oh, hold on one second. Hold on. And we're back. So, yeah, if you can hear the neighbours, we are so, so sorry. We've closed all the windows, all the doors. And
some very excitable hear children. Them.
Yeah.
In our vicinity. So
yeah, apologies if you can hear children on a trampoline. So,
but yeah, so I think I'm almost positive that McLaren have run.
They did. I'm pretty sure they did Pato Award in Miami.
Did they? I don't remember. But Piastri counts as a junior, so yeah. They only need to run one person. But yeah, so
I think they're the
only thing. The only question I have is I though. Know. So Red Bull are going to run both of theirs in Abu Dhabi. The only question I have is we've been told that we'll get Robert Schwartzman in for Abu Dhabi.
Oh, because he's done the other ones.
I don't know whether the Ferrari will actually continue to keep him running because...
Schwartzman?
Yeah, because he's racing under the Israeli flag. So the only reason why I bring it up is because of what happened with Mazepin. So they didn't run Mazepin because of... He was racing under the Russian flag and the Russian war, and there's a conflict going on.
Wasn't Schwartzman originally running underneath the Russian flag, though?
He was. He was running originally under the Russian flag, then swapped to the Israeli flag. So I wonder what will happen. So I don't know, but that's just something to bear in mind for a month and a half's time.
I hadn't thought about that. I completely forgot.
No, neither had I until I was thinking. I was like, oh, hold on. Well, why didn't they run Pato? Like, I was thinking. I was like, why didn't they run Pato Award as the McLaren Junior for Lando seat? Because he's a Mexican driver. Why didn't they run the Mexican Junior in the Mexican race?
Because he might have already done it.
Because Drugovic is running in the Brazilian. I just figured, I was like, why wouldn't they run... at the junior there. So anyway, it's going to be something interesting. I wonder what'll happen when we get to Abu Dhabi because I don't think we're going to find an answer out until the actual day. But just food for thought.
I think Williams have run both of theirs because Logan counts.
And they did one in the...
Who's in the Williams?
I could not tell you.
I can picture the guy's face.
I can't.
Tall. That doesn't help. He's British. I think he did it
also
at Silver.
Help me.
I think he did it at Silverstone.
Either way, so we've had some juniors run in this FP1 session. We'll have at least one junior run in Brazil. No one is anticipating anybody will run in the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
No.
For obvious reasons, because one, it's a night race. Two, it's a city race. Three, no one's done it before, so...
Only on the simulator, that doesn't really count.
Yeah, so no one's surprised there. They're not going to run any juniors.
No.
But what I am surprised is why haven't Red Bull run anyone sooner? Like,
I think that's what they did last year. They left it to the very end last year as well.
But last year, it was kind of close, like with the constructors and everything. Here it's been a little bit more obvious, like the gap between things. So, yeah, so it's just... But, like, they could have run... The second Max won his championship, they could have run someone. It just, I don't know. I'm an advocate of if you have a junior from a representative country and that country is coming up in the race schedule, run that junior in that country. Mexico and Abu Dhabi for Alpine. That's been confirmed.
Why didn't he do Australia?
I don't know. No,
he was running in his F2 race.
No, but still, it's just... Anyway. Yeah, but there's going to be an F2 race at Abu Dhabi. So it's just... It's interesting. That's my opinion on the matter. But I'm still glad they have the juniors running. So that's... We've had some juniors and FP1 this time round.
So not much else really happened in FP1, apart from the final standings being Verstappen first, Albon second. So the Williams have made a debut?
They've done well. High altitude apparently is good for them.
And Perez is third. And then FP2. So, again, not really much happened at FP2. They were talking about the altitude and how the altitude can change the car's performance. But really, the only thing that came out of FP2 was that Yuki Tsunoda had changed his power unit, which meant that he would be starting, I think, last on the grid.
He'll be starting at the back of the grid due to the penalties applied, regardless of what he originally had failed. They opted to change a bunch of different things, which cumulatively was... a back of the grid start.
Yeah, so then Verstappen finished first, Norris second, Leclerc third. That was really it from FP2. Not really much happened. Mm-hmm. FP3, again, same thing didn't really happen except the same order was Verstappen first, Albon second and Perez third. This takes us to qualifying. So the qualifying Q1 was an interesting race because there were some people got knocked out in Q1 that you didn't anticipate to be knocked out in Q1. And dare I say, it wasn't their fault. So
I agree.
So there was so when you're watching the qualifying, it was maybe like 5 minutes left and Lando hadn't set a time. And as there usually is towards the end of the qualifying round, the cars were leaving the garages in the pit lane, queuing up to get out. Anyway, there were some cars that had stopped for a relatively longer time than planned, being Verstappen and Russell, causing a backup, congestion, chaos in the pit lane. Anyway, because of that, there was a whole group of cars that came out at the same time, 5 minutes to go. Because of the delay, some didn't get to complete their outlap, and because they couldn't complete their outlap, they weren't ready for the actual final qualifying lap before the end of the Q1 session and the checkered flag, which resulted in our bottom five. Mind you, the bottom five who actually finished is not the actual bottom five because then people changed. Anyway, so
without any changes, during Q1.
Yeah, so then the bottom five in the actual qualifying was Sargeant, Norris, Stroll, Magnussen and Ocon is 16th. But then with people shuffling around and then penalties being put in place, i.e. Tsunoda, the actual qualifying grid is 20th Sargeant, Tsunoda 19th, Norris 18th, Stroll 17th and then Magnussen 16th. That was kind of it. Q2 happens. Sargeant gets pinged with overtaking on yellow flags and Hamilton gets pinged with speeding underneath yellow flags without dropping his speed. That didn't really result in anything apart from Sargeant then actually being dropped last. So Tsunoda was last, but then Tsunoda got bumped up because of Sargeant's penalty. That's kind of it, really. And then, yeah, so the bottom, the next five, The next five are Gasly 11, Hülkenberg 12, Alonso 13, Albon 14, and Ocon 15. So Alex Albon actually made it into Q3. However, because of track limits, he got demoted back down to Q2.
He got through, but because of the track limits, his time was representative, not... So how Eleanor mentioned at the beginning how they do multiple run sessions during the qualifying session, his first time had to hold through because his second time got deleted because of lap limits. And he didn't find out that his car had gone over the track limits until after the Q2 session had finished, and only just before the Q1 session, Q3 session. Q1. I always get those two confused because I'm like, Q1 session is one with the first car in it. No, Q3 is the one with the first car in it. So he didn't find out until the end. So we went away like between Q2 and Q1.
I accidentally fast-forwarded it because I was fast-forward. Yeah. So Katrina and I don't usually like to watch the ads. If we're watching it back after it's happened, you can fast-forward the ads based on the platform we're using.
For context, because this happens late at night, there are different...
It's purely gambling ads.
Yeah, there's different restrictions for what ads you can play at certain times of the day. So for example, almost all of F1 happens in Australian time after 9 p.m., which means you can put gambling ads on television. And I can't stand listening to that at 10 o'clock in the morning. So we fast-forwarded. We always do, or we mute it, or both.
So we fast-forwarded it, and we accidentally fast-forwarded too much, but didn't want to risk rewinding it back in case the whole platform stopped because the internet was very dodgy this morning. Anyway, so apparently Zhou got put up to 10th and Albon got knocked down. I was like, okay, cool, great. And then the top 10 being we've got a double Ferrari lockout.
Shall we go from 10 up to 1, please?
Zhou is in 10. Zhou is in 10th.
Zhou 10.
Bottas 9. Russell 8th. Piastri 7th. Hamilton 6th. Perez 5th.
Who's 4th?
Ricardo.
Woo! Who cares about the rest?
Okay, we're done.
That's it.
Podcast episode over. Ricardo's Ooh. Fourth. Yay. We can sleep happy. So Ricardo fourth, Verstappen third, and then Sainz and Leclerc finishing second and first for qualifying grid.
So
we have a double Ferrari and we've got...
Ricardo fourth. Ricardo has out-qualified Perez, which is huge because Ricardo's made it extremely well known that he's gunning for the Red Bull seat. So I think that's given him a huge confidence boost. And potentially a negative confidence boost for Perez. But we've got a double Ferrari. We have not had a double Ferrari front row since...
Don't make me go back through the notes.
Exactly. That's my point. You can't remember.
But I was going to say it's really important for Ricciardo to out-qualify Tsunoda if there's a lot of scrutiny going in place whether he deserves a seat next year.
Because that is...
Oh, no, sorry. Year after.
Yeah, because it's confirmed that Ricciardo is in the AlphaTauri for 2024. However,
both Tsunoda and Ricciardo are.
A lot of people's contracts end in 2024 and you're only as good as your last race and your last qualifying. And if your last one is a good one, then that's what sticks in people's memories.
But also it sets him up for Las Vegas.
It does. So it does.
Him doing well in this qualifying session. Yeah, he didn't do that well in COTA. But then again, he did come back from a broken wrist.
And he had damage in his car.
In his car, and the tyre strategy wasn't the best. They decided to do a one-stop tire strategy, and anyway, we are very biased towards Ricciardo. We've been explicit about this.
You can tell from our accents. I mean, there's no surprises here.
We're biased towards the Australians, the Ferraris, and the Williams. So yes, you are aware that whatever we say will probably shine a positive light on those teams and those people.
Yes.
But anyway, he's fourth, so it sets him in a good position for qualifying in Las Vegas. Like, it helps boost the morale, especially if him re-entering the sport in COTA. That's one of the races that he in the past has been quite prominent in, and he's been vocal that he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't perform that well, so this I think was a well needed confident boost for him to then perform well this weekend to set him up for Las Vegas.
I agree.
And yeah, that's kind of it.
So should we talk about our race day predictions? Because nothing really happened in this.
Williams fined $20,000. So this is what I don't quite understand. You need to explain this, Pete.
We fast forwarded and then we rewound back the tape and
we have tapes. We have a VCR.
The saying still goes.
Sorry, go on.
What we went back for was Tsunoda was exiting the pits, but was impeded by some equipment.
It looked like a, what's the thing? It's called a dolly. It's not called a dolly.
Anyways, there was some equipment in his way. Turns out that that equipment had been
It was left, the wheel, it's the wheel jack to lift the car, yeah. the front or the back of the car up.
Turns out that equipment had been left unattended by the Williams garage unintentionally in the way of Sonoda's exit path of the pit lane. Anyway, it got released right before this episode that there is going to be a 20,000 euro fine for Williams for leaving the equipment in the way, with 10,000 of that deferred. So effectively what Hamilton had for his fine when he was walking across the track with
Same amount with Russell.
No. How it was like a $50,000 fine for Hamilton, but 25 of it was paid now.
Oh, then later on.
25 later. Same as what's happened for the Williams. So it's a 20,000 fine, 10,000 of it now, 10,000 of it later, because their equipment was in the way of Yuki Tsunoda.
I wonder if that impacts the cost cap. Like Williams
is... I don't think fines...
Do they?
No, I don't think fines do. Oh, speaking of the cost cap, you've just reminded me.
Okay.
Red Bull has now... the when they exceeded the cost cap that was released to the public last year, there was a time limit set on the penalty for it. So the penalty that Red Bull had was they had a financial penalty, as well as they had a penalty restricting their amount of wind tunnel time. The time that they had penalized, so like it's given as a percentage. So if the team that is middle of the 10 teams gets 100% of the wind tunnel time.
I thought the lowest teams get 100. No, the lowest teams get more than 100. Okay. I'm pretty sure. So team 5 gets 100.
Yeah, so team 5 gets 100%, team 4 gets 90%, and then it reduces up into 1, and then if you finish 6th, you get, I think it's like 105 or it's 110, and then increases.
Isn't the 10th team like 150 or something?
Yeah, it's something like that, but it's the higher up your constructor is, the less wind tunnel time you get. The lower your team is in construction, the more wind tunnel time you get. And that's been put in place to try and give further assistance to the teams that are further away from winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there was a clause on like the penalty provided to Red Bull for breaching the cost cap. And one of the penalties was a reduced wind tunnel time that has now expired, which means, because it was only valid for a year, because it was, they went over the cost cap in 2021, that was audited in 2022 with the penalty played for the 2023 season. So the timing of that started in the 2022 season into 2023. That timing, because it was a year, that allotment of time has now expired, and they're back to the general allocation of what they're allowed at the winner's construction point. So first place gets 70% winner tunnel time. The penalty was, I think they got 63 or 65%. So it was like a reduction of 5%. Doesn't
really make much of a difference.
Not really, because Newey is a genius. But that has expired. So we've got Red Bull are allowed their full wind tunnel time for next year. I don't think it'll actually help them.
I don't think it'll make a difference.
No, exactly, because their car was that fast last year and the impeded time didn't seem to make a difference at all. But yeah, so that has been announced this weekend as well. You just reminded me of that.
And that is literally all that we've got written down.
Yes. Oh, actually, one more thing.
Do you have any memes?
Kind of. So the as we mentioned last podcast episode, the Mercedes and the Ferrari were disqualified from the last race
because of how much
of their skid block has been worn down. Anyways, what has come out is that they've been interviewing the team bosses for both of the respective teams. So they've interviewed Fred Vasser and they've interviewed Toto Wolff. And Toto Wolff has come out with this specific quote regarding it. So Toto Wolff has said, "Every day of the week I would take the disqualification." Toto Wolff says he would risk a repeat of Lewis Hamilton's USGP disqualification to compete for a race win rather than taking a conservative approach. It's just kind of...
So basically they're accepting that they're cheating?
No, kind of. They're accepting of the risk that if there is a chance that we can get away with cheating, we're going to take it. And I just think it's really negative...
Dude, you don't admit to
you
that.
You don't want... Yeah, exactly. You don't admit to it. Two, it's something that the rules are there for a reason. Follow them. It's not that hard. And they're like,
there are loopholes, but that's not a loophole.
They're like, oh, it's not fair because not enough cars got tested. And you're like, you realize the fastest two cars on the track, like the McLaren, dare I say, behind the Red Bull is the fastest car at the moment, based on their past races performances.
Well, also based on all the qualifyings as well.
Yeah, exactly. So based off of that, the fastest two cars were
compliant.
Were able to not only be compliant, but not be in doubt of breaching the rules for how much you can wear it down. And like, oh, it was only worn down by a little bit. Who cares? If you run a red light, it doesn't matter if the light had just turned red or the light has been red for ages. It's still a red light. So
what did Fred Vasseur say?
There was nothing controversial about what he said, which is why I haven't found a meme for it.
Okay. Any other memes?
No. And then there were just memes of Toto Wolff being like the president of Monsters, Inc., the dude who wears like – who looks like a scorpion / spider with the red coat.
Oh.
Blue, purple coat.
Walston.
Yeah, whatever his name is. There was a meme of Toto Wolff's face put on top of that about the breaching the rules. But apart from that,
that's
absolutely nothing.
So I've written down my race predictions. So you go first. So you go first. I've written mine.
I think Verstappen
mine
will come,
are boring.
Verstappen will come first.
I agree with you. That's what I've also said.
I think Leclerc will come second.
Okay. Yep. Leclerc.
Screw it. I'm hoping for a Ricciardo third.
I said Ricciardo third too.
Yep. I then think,
can you hear the bias in our voices?
I then think we'll get a Piastri 4.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we'll get a Piastri 4.
Okay, yeah.
And then I think we'll get a Sainz 5th.
Yeah, lucky number 5. Who's your wild card?
Norris, because Norris is starting.
Not he's
right
starting
at the
18.
Back. So I reckon he's going to do really well in the sense of like he's going to have most overtakes and most change in the grid.
Want to hear mine?
Yes.
Verstappen first.
No surprises there.
Perez second, because it is his home Grand Prix.
I agree with you. I think
you
Perez,
don't put Perez in there at all.
So I think Perez's home Grand Prix, yes. Everyone there loves him. But he doesn't do well under pressure. And not necessarily pressure from other people.
When his dad's there, he doesn't do well.
He doesn't do well when he puts himself under pressure. Pressure from others, I don't think actually affects him. But when he thinks he's under pressure, I think he doesn't do well. So I think he's going to somehow knock himself out.
What, punch himself? Sorry, it's too easy.
In like the first lap, I think he's going to be like, I must overtake Ricciardo. And then he somehow drives into a wall or something.
There's no walls.
No, there's one.
Jesus. Okay, so I've said Verstappen first, Perez second, Ricciardo third.
Yes.
Sainz fourth.
Okay.
Leclerc fifth.
All right.
Because I reckon there'll be infighting.
Yeah.
And then Albon is my wild
card. I want that.
I want him to do so well. I would say Sergeant, but I mean, he's starting 20th. But like Albon's a little bit more achievable with... Oh, wait, no, now he's 14th.
That's Eleanor. Well, I put my wild card as Norris.
Yeah,
so like,
well...
You know what? Both.
I'm going to say Albon gets points.
I want.
That's why he's my wild card.
I want Norris to get points. How cool would that be?
From what? 18th.
Yeah, exactly.
18th.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be nice to see. Anyway, so we have the race starting at...
It's 3 a.m.
Ridiculous o'clock. So
3 a.m. I mean, I would like to say I could wake up and watch it. I don't think I could.
Very much like the US race, we will probably watch this Monday night our time and then digest on that for a day and then record at best Tuesday. At worst, Friday.
Friday. Well, because we have so...
No, we're busy. We're going out. We'll do it on Friday.
Well, because we're in Perth, for those of you who aren't aware...
Or in Asia.
Perth somehow have managed to get some of the Paris 2024... Olympic qualifying
for
groups
women.
For the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
So we just watched half an hour ago the Matildas versus the Philippines.
Yes.
Great match. If you can rewatch it, Australia 8, Philippines 0. But yeah. So anyway, we want to watch the
We want to watch the game on the Wednesday.
We want to watch the game on the Wednesday. So like we could technically record after the match, but like the match starts at like 7.
Yeah.
I'm not recording at 10 p.m. Anyway.
So you'll get this sometime next week. No promises when, but it will be before the next Grand Prix.
When's Las Vegas? Is Las Vegas this weekend?
I think it's the last weekend in November or the second last weekend in November.
Oh, no.
We've got Brazil next.
It's Brazil.
Next weekend?
Brazil's on the 3rd of November. Is that next weekend?
Brazil is next weekend. And once again, that's at ridiculous o'clock. So same for this. You won't get anything
in any reasonable time, but you will get it before the next one.
Why did I think Vegas was next? Anyway, so Brazil's next.
I'm so excited for Brazil.
It's probably going to be like the same thing. We record the Friday before the next Grand Prix about the Grand Prix that had just passed.
Brazil is one of my favorites. And you know what? What did we say? Go back to the beginning of the book. What did we predict this year's were most boring race was? Because I'm pretty sure I said Mexico. I'm pretty sure I'm now wrong.
Hold on. 2023.
Because I don't think it'll be Mexico unless Ricciardo drops down.
Best race. I said Suzuka was actually a pretty good race. Suzuka
was a really good race.
You said Spa. I'm sorry, Katrina, but Spa was so boring.
Did I say – no, but what did I say was the most boring race?
Oh,
I
you think said Mexico. You said Mexico and Miami.
Miami, I'm correct. I kind of don't want Mexico to be
– I technically win, Katrina, because I said Canada and Miami.
No, no, no. If it is boring, we draw. I hope it's not boring. I want Norris and I want Ricciardo to do well.
It's not going to be boring because Ricciardo is going to do well.
Yes.
Positive thoughts.
Oh, totally positive. But I mean, I'm wrong in everything else. I mean, what would surprise me about being wrong in this?
None. I am currently really wrong with the most penalty points being Alonso.
Did I say Ocon? No, I said Gasly.
You said
didn't
Gasly.
I? Well, I mean, I get half a point because it's the right team.
I said most crashes, Esteban, and I think I'm pretty good.
You said Tsunoda.
Yours isn't technically a crash. Yours have been,
I think,
malfunctions.
Yeah.
What else? Most podiums, I've said Perez. Wow, I'm wrong. Most podiums, you said Russell. You're also wrong.
Because we said we can't pick Verstappen for that one.
Most poles.
I think I've got more. I think Russell's got more podiums than Perez, though. So it's not who's right. It's who's more right out of the two of us, right?
Yeah, and you were technically wrong because you said the world champ would be Leclerc.
I was optimistic.
I've actually won that. Both actually, we can do this. Red Bull, both of us guess the constructors. Most poles, I said Leclerc. You said Verstappen. I think it might be pretty even.
No, Verstappen's got more poles this year. Verstappen's had like 13 poles. Leclerc's had like 4.
Okay.
Next.
Most DNFs, I said Sargeant. You said Lando. We'll have to go back
in. Sargeant has had more DNFs than Lando, leave that until the end.
We'll have to go through that.
Leave it to the end.
The least amount of points in the actual title. I'm wrong with Piastri.
So wrong because Piastri is ninth. Out of the two of us,
you're more right.
You know what? You can mark that for me because there is no possible way for
Hülkenberg to be better than Piastri. Yeah. Most crashes, can't say yet. Best race, I think Suzuki's up there. I said Suzuki, you said Spa, and then we just got the worst races with Canada, Miami, Mexico, Miami.
Leave it then because we've got a couple more to go.
Okay, cool. Well, that is essentially it. We have, I don't know how we managed to string 30 minutes of this together. Well, no, 27 minutes.
Neither do I, but we shall talk to you in 3 to 5 business days.
3 to 5 business days Australia time.
Yes, 3 to 5 Australian business days.
Anyway, thank you for listening and apologies again if you can hear some kids the kids' volume, so the neighbors behind us, they've got like a trampoline, and depending on where the kids are screaming on the trampoline, it's either louder or softer. Apologies if you can hear that conversation.
Welcome to Australian neighborhoods.
We closed all the windows and doors. But yeah, bonus content.
Okay. There you go. Anyway, have a lovely race watch, everybody.
Race watch.
Yeah, of Mexico.
Good gas bags out.
Bye.
Bye.